Amen. Praise the Lord for what God's already done for us. I'll tell you what, I just got up here just about ready to shout. I mean, the Lord's put it all together. Every message and song has prepared and goes right along with the message that's going to be preached today. And as God does that, we ought never lose sight of who God is. God knows more about all of us than what we could ever know about ourselves. He knew exactly what would be taking place here this morning. He directed every special. He directed the preparation for the preaching of the Word of God. And all we have to do is sit back and just take it all in. And let God minister to us. Let God speak to us. And that's what worship is all about. It's what assembling ourselves together to acknowledge an almighty God, to worship Him, to bow down at His feet, and receive from God what we have need of. And I believe it's here today, and I trust that you'll receive it before you leave. John chapter 8. I'm going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 11. John chapter 8. The story is the woman taken in adultery. John chapter 8. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him and sat down and taught them. He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And let's pray. Father and our God, as we bow before you, what a blessing it's already been just being in this place, sensing your presence here amongst us. And Father, now as we have this privilege of opening up the eternal words that you have written down and preserved for us, and to study this story in this book of John, a very powerful story with much for us to learn from, I just pray, God, that you'd give each one here that ear to hear exactly what you have to say to them and a heart to make an application. I pray once again that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The words, go and sin no more. What a great thought. No more sin. What a great thought to have in our own hearts and our minds and our lives, to think of never having to deal with the consequences of sin, never having to deal with the temptations, never having to deal with the conviction and then the consequences of sin. What a great thought. What a great story. As we look at the story here this morning, verses 1 through 3, we find that Jesus is sitting down in the temple teaching the people. As he often did, he would get them together and he would want to teach them to understand the scriptures, to understand God and what was taking place in their lives. There were some ungodly scribes and the Pharisees. They bring in a woman who had just been taken in adultery. They place her in the middle of them all. Possibly no regards for his teaching, no regards for what's taking place. They just come in, they bring this woman, and they're having a Bible study time, and Jesus is teaching in the temple or the church, and they bring this woman and put her right in the midst of all of them. Verses 4 through 6, as they put her there, they said she was caught in the very act. There's no question about it. No doubt they would have probably said, we have eyewitnesses to what she had been doing. And they say, the law says that she is to die. Everyone here understands the law of Moses, and if you're teaching the truths of the Bible and the truths of the laws, then the law says that this woman, at this point, right now, she ought to be stoned. What sayest thou? They didn't care about the woman. They were after Christ. They were trying to find him in some kind of a violation of Scripture. They were trying to catch him in saying something that would oppose the Scriptures, that they might be able to accuse him of being a false prophet. What sayest thou? Verse 7, Jesus addresses the crowd. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them. Now there's been a lot of speculation as to what Jesus was writing on the ground, and I don't really think that's the main message here. He was ignoring them, and I don't know that I could have been as patient. Amen? We're in here and somebody brings somebody in and it says, all right, what are you going to do? This is what the law says. I'm going to say, this is not the time or the place. Get out of here. So I don't know what he was doing, but we know that he did not. He acted like they hadn't said anything, acted like they weren't there. And so that's not the message. But in verse 7 he says, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you. Bringing to light the practical truths and the principles in the Old Testament that led to the New Testament doctrines that we live by today. That's what Jesus was doing. He was not contradicting the Old Testament. He was trying to bring them to the place where God wanted them to be and understanding that he was the Messiah. And this was a new time. This was the time that they were to understand the perfect will of God concerning Christianity, concerning the New Testament church, concerning the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, all that which he ushered in to have a new and living way, what God had in mind the whole time throughout the whole Old Testament, looking for this New Testament church age. And so we find here, he says, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. No doubt, when they heard, this is what the Bible, this is what Moses put in the law, and if there's no doubt we have witnesses, and this woman is guilty, most of them would have stood up looking for him to say, all right, stone her to death, that we're going to follow the law. And more than likely, all of them around the crowd would have been looking for stones, and they would have had a stone in their hand, waiting for him to give the word. Then he said, that one, whoever's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, Stop and ask yourself, is there any sin in my life? Am I worthy to take somebody else's life for committing sin? Should I really be the one that picks up this rock and takes somebody else's life? And they was convicted by their own conscience. And each one of them, I bet, no doubt, they started realizing all the sins that they had committed, possibly thinking, I should be the one being stoned. If everybody knew what you know about you, if everybody knew what you have done, sins in your life, would you feel like you should be stoned? Instead of being the one to pick up a stone and cast it at somebody else? This is reality. This was an actual story that took place. And Jesus, knowing all their intents of their hearts, and Jesus knowing everything about every one of them, their entire lives, knowing that there was no one there that had not committed sins worthy of being stoned. And so we find here that the crowd disperses. Everyone, one by the eldest had more of a life to look back on. I don't know, it was not a wisdom thing here. It was having more opportunities in life to sin. They had committed more sin because they had lived the longer of the lives and had all this opportunity in the sin nature. And so they had more to look back on. And beginning with the one that realized all of his life and all their lives of sin, and they one by one threw down the stones and dispersed. Jesus then addresses the woman. He addresses the woman. Now, they didn't care about her. He cared about her. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was a friend to sinners. He had something to offer a sinner. He addresses the woman, verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, realizing that she's just experienced everyone leaving. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Now, no one was there but Jesus and this woman. No one left that was without sin but Christ. And the Bible reveals that to us. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's something this woman is realizing. There's not a one of those in this church. She'd probably never been to church before. She had probably never been to the temple before because she was living the life of a prostitute. She probably thought that a bunch of hypocrites in that church or whatever it was, who knows what she thought about those going to the temple to worship God. She did not have God in her mind. She possibly had no concern about that. She was raised, more than likely, in the very same sin that she was now living in. How many do we have like that in this world? Just following after the traditions of mom and dad and following in the very same footsteps of a drunkard father or an ungodly, adulterous mother, whatever it might be. And she's probably very surprised to see that there's no one there feeling worthy enough to throw a stone at her. They all left. The woman, realizing what had just happened, after Jesus addresses her, she addresses him. Look in verse 11. She said, no man. And she acknowledged Jesus. And she says, Lord. If there's anybody that's worthy to cast a stone, it would be you, because you're the Lord. You're sinless. You And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Jesus sets her free. You remember when you was set free from your sin? Amen. When you realize, as we just heard, it was only through the blood that I could be forgiven and washed of my sin. And I realized that Jesus paid the sin debt on Calvary's cross for me. And now I'm looking to Him. I'm looking to Him to forgive and cleanse me of my sin. And when I know that I've been forgiven, what a burden lifted. I know that I will not go to a place of eternal damnation. I will not have to pay for my own sin and die and go to a devil's hell. Now, I've been adopted into the family of God. As we studied in our Sunday morning Sunday school, I've been given the keys, access into the very holies of holies, communication with God. Whew. Yeah. Jesus sets her free. But then he admonishes her. That's really the message this morning. This is a story, but go and sin no more. His admonishment. This was exactly what this woman needed. This woman needed to hear exactly what Jesus revealed to her, and she needed to go out and do exactly what Jesus told her to do. And so does every other sinner that has ever lived. That admonishment that Jesus gave to this woman here, because that's what she needed to hear, and that was the most important thing that he could admonish her with, and the most important thing that he could tell her to do, is the very same thing that we have written down. And I believe one of the things that we ought to be learning from this story, this passage of scripture, is Jesus admonishing you and I to do the very same thing. Go and sin no more. It's what this woman needed. First of all, this woman needed to hear the word sin. He didn't make light of her adulterous lifestyle. He acknowledged what she had done was sin. You've been living in this sin. And you, by the Old Testament law, you deserve to be stoned. For her to stop sinning, she would need to address her sin. Can I tell you, there are people living here in Indianapolis that are committing horrendous sins that have never been taught that what they're doing is sin. Especially when it comes to immoral behavior. It's the way we were raised. We just have to be safe in what we're doing. It's always taught at school. Nothing wrong with it. Just be safe in having promiscuous sexual activity. And now it's nothing wrong with homosexuality. That's just how you were born. And that's what you were, how you were made up. And because of all that, they have never been taught. They have never come to that place where somebody who loved them enough to tell them, we love you, God loves you, but what you are doing is sin against God. Matter of fact, the Bible says it's an abomination against God. For her to stop sinning, she would need to address it as sin. Even though this woman was being used, she knew that they were taking her and throwing her in front of Jesus so that they could get at Jesus. Some believe that most of those had committed adultery with her. Those very same men that brought her to cast her before Jesus and wanted Jesus to say, stone her, they had committed the very same things. And if you would look into the law in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 22 down to verse 24, the Bible says, yes, the Bible says that she was to be stoned, but the Bible says that both of them were to be brought before the congregation and both of them were to be stoned. Where's the man? Jesus was thinking about this woman, what she needed to hear and what was best for her. And he addressed her sin. Jesus did not allow her to dismiss her own sin and blame it on somebody else. Can I tell you that's a typical thing for most human beings to do? If somebody gives me an out and I don't have to accept the blame for it, I'm taking it. It was a speed trap. That's why I got caught speeding. That's why I got a ticket. It was a speed trap. They tricked me into that. It was their fault. No. Were you breaking the speed limit? But it was a trap. It doesn't. Were you breaking the speed limit? Stop excusing your sin or you're breaking the law and blaming it on somebody else. There's people here today that are engaged in sin and you've justified it. You've justified the drinking of alcohol. You've justified having premarital activities. You've justified for whatever it might be, thinking that it's accepted by the community, it's accepted by humanity, it is the 21st century, whatever it might be, and you are justifying something that God says, and Almighty God said, this is sin, and there is a price to pay because of your sin. Jesus addresses her sin and wanted her to address her sin. Stop it. I don't condemn thee. Go and sin what you've been doing, the life you've been living. Stop it. No more. Stop excusing your behavior. Stop blaming it on somebody else. Woman, address your sin. Tell yourself, I am an adulterous woman. Say, preacher, that's pretty harsh. Is that not what she was? Is that not what she had to stop? She will never stop it until she acknowledges that God said, what the life that you're doing, the lifestyle you're living, what you're doing is sin, and you have to see yourself as that sinner. You're an adulteress. And the Bible does say that if you're caught in the act of adultery, you're to be stoned. There's a penalty for that sin. You have to see yourself as a sinner. You have to see yourself as an adulteress. In order to stop it, you have to see it as sin. Some might need to say, I'm a liar. Well, I just don't want to hurt people's feelings. I want to tell them what they want to hear, and so I'll tell them whatever they want. Listen to me. That is lies. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for a wrong behavior. If it's sin, it's sin. And if you're going to stop sinning, you have to look at yourself and whatever sin that you're engaged in and say, I am a liar and I am going to address that sin of lying so that I will not be a liar any longer. I'm going to stop lying. Maybe some need to say, I'm a thief. Well, it's just petty. They should be paying me more at work anyway. And so since they're not paying me any more at work, I'm just going to get my fringe benefits by a five-finger discount. You're a thief. No, 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 no. I don't look at that. Listen to me. Are you taking something that does not belong to you? What does that identify you as? Someone that is stealing. Stop it. You've It's not God's will for us to continue to live in any sin, that we ought to get the victory over whatever sin it is that we're engaged in. And this woman, he says to this woman, I'm not going to condemn you. You already realize now that you could have been and should have been stoned. And I will see that in just a minute. He said, I'm not going to condemn you, but this is what I'm going to tell you to do now that you've acknowledged me as your Lord. Go and sin no more. Galatians in chapter 5, I want you to see this. This is just the sins of the flesh, every one of us. Don't think yourself better than somebody else because we all have this very same sinful nature. And these are all sins of the flesh that any one of us could be capable of committing. Galatians in chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. Well, he did it first. Blame your husband. Or she did it first. Blame your wife. That doesn't excuse it. In God's eyes, you're an adulterer. Whoa. Yeah. That's sins of the flesh. Fornication. That's sexual activity outside of marriage. Before you get married. Well, come on, preacher. It's the 21st century. Everybody is living this. You see it on television, and we accept it, and we view it. And you're feeding that sin nature by viewing it. And you're feeding that sin nature, and it's allowing you to justify it. If you're going to stop it, you better acknowledge it as being wrong. It's sin. It's sin based on the Bible, based on an almighty God. So we find here, it says, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Yes, take a bath. No. Anyway, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. I want to know about the future. I want to call the psychic hotline. Stop calling that psychic hotline. You want to know about the future? Amen. Come on Sunday nights and hear about Revelation. You understand what God reveals about the future. If you study the book of Revelation, that's what we have need to understand. Hatred. Whoa. Now, wait a minute. We might identify with that one. Is there somebody, even in this church, that you say, I hate that person? How are you justifying that? When the Bible says, you can't love me and hate your brother. Well, you don't know what they've done to me, and you don't know what's happened here, and you know what? Stop justifying it and stop hating anybody, especially your brother. The Bible tells you how to deal with it so that we'll not be in aught. Just saying. He goes on, variants, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder. Can I tell you, he's listing it all. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He said, I can't list them all, there's so many. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things, you live this kind of life, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot continue to live that life as a born-again believer without the conviction and chastisement and the judgment of God upon you. This woman needed to hear the word sin. Praise the Lord. I trust that you come to an independent fundamental Baptist church because you know that you're going to get what you need and not what you're looking to get. Not just getting your ears tickled. Not getting somebody tell you, you're such a good person, you can go ahead and live in adultery, and you can go ahead and live in sin, and you can go out there and you can be a drunkard, and you can be all this, you can blow all your money on the track, and you can do this, and you can do that. Listen to me, somebody preaching the word, you're going to hear sin. That's right. Amen. And that's exactly what you need to hear when you're engaged in sin. The woman needed to realize, the second thing, the woman needed to realize she deserved what she deserved as the wages of sin. Put yourself in this woman's place. I believe the Bible would have us to do that. In John chapter 8 and verse 5. Now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. This woman had just been taken by these men in the very act. She knows that they know what she's done. And now they're telling everybody else at this council, in this temple, in this church. And now she's being told that it's what the law is. This is what Moses and the law, this is what all these people believe, and this is the law. And the law says that she is to be stoned. I guarantee you, put yourself there and you're thinking, I'm going to die. I'm going to get stoned to death. She knew, she believed in her heart, she was going to die. And she had heard it was because of the wages of her sin. Amen. You know, the Bible says that for the wage of sin is death. And that's not only physical death, that's eternal separation from God. We need to know that. She's seeing herself as being stoned. Whether she agreed with it or not, it was part of the Old Testament law. I guarantee you right now she's thinking, I don't agree with this. This is not how I was raised. I can't believe they tell me that I'm going to die and go to hell just because I don't accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I can't believe that those people don't believe that you should drink alcohol. I don't believe, is it crazy to think that they think that you ought to live a life of holiness and your body is the temple of God? I can't believe that. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It is truth. Amen. Based on the words of an almighty God. She's coming to realization, no matter how I was raised, no matter what I believe, I'm going to die because of my sin. Revelation chapter 20, we're going to be studying this tonight, but I want to touch on, just want you to see it real quick. I'm almost done here. Don't get too scared. Amen. I want you to come back tonight because Revelation chapter 20, I mean, this, and we'll break it down tonight. Verse 11. The second death. The second death is to be feared far above the first death. The first death, every one of us, it's a physical death. The second death is eternal separation from God. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, those that had died the first time, physical death, stand before God. They're going to stand before God after they die? Yes. Your physical death does not end at all. Don't let anybody tell you that. Look to what the Bible says about eternity. God's the only one that truly knows. They stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, how you lived your life, the degree of sin, whatever it might be. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works, their life. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. And whosoever was not found written, not about your works, salvation, it's whosoever was not found written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, written down when you received Christ as your Savior, was cast into the lake of fire. The woman needed to realize that she deserved the wages of sin. The woman needed to know that Jesus, what Jesus did for her. He set her free. Set her free from a life of sin. She had received mercy, withholding of deserved punishment based on the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. The grace of the love and kindness of God sent his Son to die on Calvary's cross to pay a sin debt that you owe and could not pay. And when you look to Jesus Christ and trust him as your personal Lord and Savior, because of his grace, he shows mercy and he sets you free. Free from the debt of sin. Isn't that good? And then lastly, the woman needed to be admonished by the one who set her free. He died for you. He's the one that has the right to admonish us to do whatever He would have us to do. And His will, first of all, go. Live with a greater appreciation and purpose for your life. Don't go back to that same old lifestyle. Don't go back to the place where excusing your behavior because of your parents or how you were raised or because of society. Go and change your life. Go and live differently. Go with a greater appreciation. You were saved. You're a child of the King now. You have everlasting life, and God has a purpose for your life. Go with a greater appreciation for your life. And know there's a purpose for your life. Go. Because of what's taking place, go appreciate what God's done for you. Acknowledge Him in your life. And then sin no more. This should be every believer's desire for their own lives. Lord, I don't want to sin. God, help me not to sin. Jesus taught the disciples to pray, lead me not into temptation. That means, God, lead me in the paths of righteousness. Help me not to go in a direction where I'm going to be tempted. Stay away from those places of temptation that's going to lead you down the very same path. Taught him to pray for deliverance. Deliver me from evil. God, help me. That's what it said. That prayer, one of the things we ought to pray for. Many times we ask people to pray for my health, pray for this and pray for that, and praise the Lord for that. But the most important thing that you ought to be praying for, God, help me not to sin. Sin will not only destroy your life, it will destroy those connected to your life. It will destroy your marital relationship. It will destroy your home and family. Lord, I don't want to sin. God, help me to understand what sin is, and help me, once I acknowledge it as sin, especially the sin that so easily besets me, help me to acknowledge it as sin, and then help me to go and turn away from it and live a life without sin. Sin is the only thing that can separate you from fellowship with God as a believer. It's God's will for us. So, preacher, means I can live this life without ever committing another sin. That ought to be our desire. But the truth of it is, we're going to fall short of that. And in closing, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, our Heavenly Father speaking to us, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. It's never my will. You're never going to get a pass to sin. It's never within the will of God to go opposite God's will for your life. It's never in God's will to allow you any sin, because He knows what sin does. And if any man sin, my will is that you sin not. Your desire will be that you never commit another sin, but when you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The only one that was standing there without sin. The only one that could have cast a stone at this woman. And He said, neither do I condemn thee. I'm going to set you free. But with that, let me admonish you. Go. Change your life. Get on a right path and sin no more. Our desire ought to be to follow His admonishment Go and sin no more. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. What a great story. What a great truth from the Scriptures. It's not only what this woman needed, but it's what every one of us need. Every one of us here have the same sin nature and capable of committing the very same sins, and more than likely have some that need to be confessed and forsaken in our lives right now. Right now. It's hindering you, and you're blinded to how it's hindering you. It's keeping you from the peace of God. It's keeping you from the joy of the Lord. It's keeping you from a close walk with God, and you've blinded yourself to it. Open your eyes. Face the sin. Confess the sin. And sin no more. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray now that you'd meet with us and bless in this invitation. Lord, I've preached what you wanted me to preach. I just seen the confirmation of that and just every song that was sung here this morning. You know what's going on in each one of our lives. I trust that they, each one here, prayed that you would speak to them as they needed to be spoken to. You know those here today that need to come to you and look to you as Lord. Call upon you to be their Savior, to have the forgiveness of their sin, to be set free. I pray that they would do that today. There's other Christians here that have blinded themselves, or Satan has blinded them to their sin and the results of that sin. I pray, God, this morning that conviction would set in and they would come and confess and forsake those sins and have those sins forgiven and cleansed and drawn back and have themselves drawn back closer to you. I just ask, God, that you'd work in our midst as only you can work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.